Hello. My name is Art, and this is the time in our service where we share our lives with each other. You can share prayer requests. You can share what God is doing in your life. You can just update us. And we have a really great update to give. I've been struggling with a lot of health things for basically since mid-November, and those have cleared up. So praise God for that. And right at the end of all that, as you guys know, Micah kind of came back unannounced and unexpectedly last week. And he and I talked, and I said, you know, you can't really move into our house unless you have something to do, because last time you were there, you didn't want to do anything I said. So I said, just get a job and pay rent. And that's the only way that you can live with us. And then I think we got a call. When did he come? So Wednesday night, we get a call from Hiroshi, and you know, Hiroshi's pretty much the most laid-back person I've ever met. He goes, yes, I have diagnosed Micah, and he cannot work, so please accept him to your home. And I said, okay, well, sure, because, you know, we'll do anything that he says. He's our spiritual leader. He's the guy that holds our visa, and whatever he says is what we'll do. So Micah came to our house on Thursday, and he's living with us now. He's a very different person. There's the light is back in the eyes. There's a willingness. And, you know, Micah, when he was really sick before and in a rut and unable to get out of himself, we were at a meeting of our missionary groups. And I had just met Shuhei a couple days before, and this was last year sometime, about a year ago maybe. And I had told Shuhei about our house, and I said, well, why don't you come over since you have mental disabilities, you don't have a job or whatever. And he showed up unannounced while we were at a meeting, and actually Micah was there. And so we get a call at 10 in the morning, oh, Shuhei's here. I said, well, okay, well, we'll be back at 5 o'clock, so tell him to come back another time. And when we came back from the meeting, it was 5 o'clock, and Shuhei had been there all day with Micah. But Micah was actually the healthiest I had seen him because he was taking care of Shuhei and making sure he was all right and serving him. And so they have a long kind of history of a relationship. Thursday night, I get a call from Shuhei's grandmother. And Shuhei's very irritated. He's had a number of arguments with her. He gets very angry. He has hit her before, and he ends up in a mental institution for 4 to 6 weeks, heavily medicated, because they call the police. And so I said, don't call the police next time. I said, call me. So she called me, and it was really bad in the background. And so I didn't quite know what to do. And when I hung up, Darcy comes out of Megumi's room and goes, okay, you're going to go over to Shuhei's house, and you're going to take Micah with you and, you know, figure it out. So we went, and you know, I walk in, I'm pretty pissed off because his grandmother's really nice. She's super sweet, and she's, you know, he berates her, and she's crying all the time, and he's over top of her, and she just loves him to death in an unhealthy way, too much. She really spoils him. But Shuhei, as you know, is on the very bottom of the social ladder in Japan. And so all the time he's taking abuse from the normal people up top. And the only place that he has any status is in his house. And so the only person that's below him in life is really animals and his grandmother. And so he takes it out on her. And so you understand that from a human sin perspective, but it's also extremely, extremely hard to witness. And I was really upset. And I came in there wanting to put a big tongue lashing down on him, and I walked in, and he said, I said, what happened? He said, everything's okay. I said, everything's not okay. And, you know, Micah could sense my anger. He said, well, why don't we walk outside? You know, when we go outside, and, you know, I launch into him. I said, look, you can't treat your grandmother like this. You got to move out of the house. If you don't move out of the house into a group home, we can never accept you in our family. And Micah's like, Shuhei, why don't you have a cigarette? And then let's go for a walk, you know? And so Micah just has this great sensibility that I don't have. He really has the heart of a peacemaker, and he has a lot of a keen sense of how to deal with human beings, which is, I think, why he doesn't relate or identify as being hikikomori because his social skill level is so high. But he brings something to the table that I just don't have, which is kind of softness and understanding and like a cool, cool level head. So if he had not been there, I would not have been able to handle that situation that well. And so God's just bringing this stuff together, all in God's perfect time. Shuhei has been staying with us, and will stay with us through tomorrow till one of my friends will come over, and then we'll all go meet with the grandmother and make a plan to get him out of the house. Eventually, we'd like to have him live with us, but he has never, no one's ever expected him to do anything. He's never had any responsibility, and even to this day, he has nothing except for a couple times a week he works at a factory for about 3 hours. He gets allowance, he goes out, he spends it on, you know, games in the arcade, and he always has new doodads and, you know, buys cigarettes, but he has no responsibility. So I just can't accept someone like that into my house who's not going to have any work ethic. And so I said, look, you've got to learn to be a man before you can come into my house. You're 24 years old. I'm going to treat you like a man. You act like a kid. You have everyone's expected you to be a kid, and it's not the way it's going to be. So we're really wanting them to get in a halfway house where they have some expectations that there'll be work every day, that if he wants to buy cigarettes, that he'll have to earn that money. And he had actually been in a halfway house before, but he kept calling his grandmother and saying, you know, the work's so hard, and my boss always tells me that I have to work harder, and he's obsessive compulsive too, and so he's everything takes a long time when it comes to washing. So he'll go through three quarters of a body wash if he's allowed to. He'll go through three quarters of a body wash bottle in one sitting. And so he'll say, there's not enough body wash. And the grandmother was bringing him 5 bottles of body wash a week. You know, this is what I mean by she loves him too much. He's super clean. There's no smell on that guy at all. He actually was at the house, and he's like, I don't have pants. And I'm like, you've been wearing those one day. Do they smell? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, you'll live. You'll be fine. I'm like, I've worn these for a week. It's totally good. Just change your underwear. It's really good. It's a dynamic in the house. There's people there. It's easier that Shuhei and Micah are kind of paired up. And I think it's something that would have overwhelmed me in the past, but it's good. And like Darcy and I are to the point where we can set the tone at a positive level. And before, I think there was just so much struggle that I wouldn't have been able to trust myself to really set the tone and make sure that people are positive and are having a good time, you know, and it's just coming naturally. So it's really, really cool to see. Shuhei's grandfather has pretty bad cancer. His immune system's super compromised. So this is the last week that we'll be coming to Mitake, because I just can't afford to have Shuhei be infected and infect his grandfather and his grandfather fall ill to this virus. So we plan on worshiping at home. I think this thing's going to be gone here for a while. It's supposed to peak in China in April, so I mean, you might not see us for a number of months or until the summer. But we just feel like this is something that's important for us to protect. And with I don't want to be sick again. And I think, I don't want to be sick again either. And we're surrounded by old people. And so it's not so much like we're scared of what the virus will do to us, but we're really concerned about our neighbors, about Shuhei's grandfather. Like if it gets into Owasa, like people are going to die. So this is the last time you'll see us for quite a while. So come on up and share. We'll certainly miss you guys. I'll be watching sermons on YouTube, but this is the last week for us.
Yeah, I'll confess, I have the same worries as far as this coronavirus. When the SARS was around and the bird flu and all that, I wasn't really worried too much. But for some reason, seeing the reports and hearing the fatality numbers and just seeing it increase every day, And then having a daughter, I don't know. It's just getting to me more than it ever has. So I completely understand your guys' concern. Our son Kyohei is at home. He has a small fever, just 37.1. But I just was like, you're staying home. You're not getting anybody sick, and we'll take the risk here at home. But I really needed those worship songs today, reminding us of who's in charge and who's in control. And it's funny that Pastor Hiroshi scheduled the sermon this year to fall on this date for me to preach on trusting God in these things. But I didn't come to testify about that particularly, but that just happened to be there. Yeah, and I told Micah, I would rather be living in an Owasa right now than in Hiroshima because of the risk, but that's okay. Okay, I'm here to testify, just to give a report about my aunt, who we've been praying for, my Auntie Feli. My mom was taking care of her for a month in hospital. Basically, my mom has been living at the hospital with my aunt, going through the rehab and all of that treatment. My mom has now moved back down to California from Canada just to get back home. And now my aunt is by herself at the hospital. She has church friends who come and bring meals every so often. And hopefully I'll have family relatives from Vancouver, which is a couple hours away from where she is, to come and take care of her. So my cousins, my uncle as well. So please pray that my family would be able to cover my mom's shift, as you can say, and also that my aunt could be transferred soon to Vancouver, where she'll be closer to close family. So if you could pray for that. My aunt's name is Feli, Auntie Feli. So.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for praying for me. 2 weeks ago, Friday night, I back home. I became abnormal breathing attack, I think. But suddenly, I have a headache and throat and dizzy, and it became horrible. And then I went to the hospital and a few ticket drips, and then I became very good. But even now, in the nighttime, abnormal breathing attacking me every night. That's why please pray for me and why became like this. Because doctor checking my blood test and allergy and other many things, but nothing negative, I think. I think never negative. It's good. I mean, good. So, but I don't have many strong stress. Nanimonai. But I became like this. So, and also, I want to pray for one more thing, because now is a tax season in Japan, you know. I have to go NTT Credo Hall in downtown for tax, how to say, shinkoku? Tax. Tax filing? Thank you. This. So I also very worried about coronavirus, because many people coming that hall. Yeah. 3,000, maybe more. So I have to wait just 3 hours my time, until my time. So, I have asthma. Asthma is very, very good right now, but coronavirus is very, very scared for me. So please pray for me, my breathing, abnormal breathing attack, and also God save me from coronavirus. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace. Today I want to request prayer for my brother. His name is Moses. Moses is our second last born. We are seven. I am number four. My sister is number five. Moses is number six. And then the last other brother. So Moses is a brother who was arrested some 2 years ago for like a month or so. But, okay, he didn't do anything. Someone just cheated on him and he was arrested for some money that was lost in his company, but thank God he was released and that ended like that. But my brother seems he has a problem, financial problem. We are still not sure, but we reading the message he sent to us, it seems he's addicted to something close to gambling, and so he's lost all his savings and he has taken loans from banks, and it's like he just reached somewhere, like the end. And not just that, he's borrowed money from almost all of us. And we didn't know why he was borrowing money. And interestingly, we didn't all know that he was borrowing from all of us. So he will borrow from me. I remember I took some loan last year, like to send to him. Then my sister surprised me that we also took a loan with my husband. Like he asked money and we gave him. Then my sister told me also our youngest brother, like his mother-in-law actually took a loan and they sent to this brother, Moses. So yesterday he sent a message to my sister because the latest money she sent to him, like she was disturbed. He's borrowing money and he don't bring back. I took a loan here and sent him money, and then when the time to pay, he didn't pay me back. So yesterday my sister sent him a message and asked him, I send you some money, but you've not said anything. And for some time, he's not been, like, communicating on our family pages, and we were a bit worried what's going on. So yesterday, he sent a long message to my sister, and she forwarded to us. She forwarded to me and to my elder brother. He actually also borrowed money from our eldest brother. So his message was explaining how he's been losing all this money that he takes from all of us. The only funny thing, he doesn't tell us how he's losing. He just said, Liz, you gave me Jumayen. Then the next day, I lost it. Grace gave me this. I lost it. John gave me this. So he's just saying lost it, but we don't know what he means by lost it. But my sister tells me it's some form of gambling he's been doing for a while. And so he has loans, like, in the family, and he also has loans, like, from the banks. He has salary advances, and he's like here. So at the end of the message, he said, if you don't hear from me again, know that I've been overwhelmed by life's challenges. And my sister read that, and she was like, what do I do? My sister is in Nairobi, in the capital city, and this brother is like some like 2 or 3 hours away from her. That's all he said at the end. So my sister was really confused what he means by. Recently, there are a lot of suicides in my country because betting companies are making entry into African countries and people are like losing their savings and this kind of things, and they just commit suicide. It's just this week I was reading about a young man, he's I think 23 or 24. He just wrote on Facebook, like, RIP to me, just like that, and he was going to commit suicide. So our brother's message really shocked my sister. I wasn't at home. I had gone shopping with Joyce, so I left my phone. I just came, and I found the forwarded message from my brother, and she said, call me quickly, my sister, now. So I talked to my sister, and she explained to me, Grace, it just seems our brother has been doing something. He's been putting money in some form of thing that we still don't know, but he's been losing it. Now he has loans like from all of us in the family, and the banks have been coming on his door. And so he just said he just wants like to give up on life. So my sister called him yesterday and told him, like she said he was just crying. He couldn't talk to me, but I told him he didn't have even the fare to come over to my sister's house. So my sister said, I asked him, do you have fare? He said, no, so I'm going to send you fare now. Please come to Nairobi immediately. So he was to come over to my sister's house to meet her and her husband so that they talk to him and get to know what's been happening for all this long, you know. And where has all the money been going? Because my sister and her husband, I asked my sister, how much have you lent him from, let's say, December to now? My sister told me in Japanese yen, like Rokujuman, that's a lot of money in Kenya. So they took loans with the husband and gave him, but it's been maybe he gambled this money. I just asked him two weeks ago about my money because I'm not sure what's going on. So I just reminded him, you took some loan from me and I need to pay something. He just told me, I'm sorry, I haven't found it back. So yesterday is when I began to understand that something has been happening in his life and it's like, we just don't know. So I haven't heard from my sister. He came over yesterday night. I just pray that they will have a good time with him and they will be able to encourage him. He's a believer, he's a Christian. He's attached to one of the big churches in Kenya. And we don't know how close he is to the church fellowships, but as a family, he has withdrawn from us. So somehow, this is an indication of something that has been maybe enslaved him, because he doesn't communicate with us on family pages, because we have family pages where we talk like almost every day. Then suddenly, Moses doesn't say anything there. The last time he told us, we were all concerned, and he just said, I'm sorry, I have a problem with my phone. When I begin typing, it goes off, and the message just stopped there. So yesterday, I asked my sister, you remember the last time he said he can't communicate with us family because his phone goes off? He said, Grace, that can't be. You can put your phone continuously on charge and chat or talk with people if you want to. And my sister said, actually, he has an iPhone, and we are the ones who gave him that iPhone. So he didn't say the truth. There's just something going on. So please pray for my brother. The message he sent was a little scary, but I told my sister yesterday, confirmed that he's coming to Nairobi before I slept at night, because we are 6 hours ahead in Japan. So I asked her, can you kindly confirm that he's actually coming to Nairobi? And she said, I've called him, and he said he's already in the car. They are past like the middle way from the city he lives to Nairobi. So I just hope that he can be able to open up to my sister and her husband and be willing to be helped. And we want to do our best as a family to support him. God has blessed him. He has a job, because we have our other brother who doesn't have a job yet. He lost his job like almost 7 years ago, and he's also been having a stressful time with our family, and he has no source of income in Kenya. Like, it's like if one company sacks you, you'll not easily get another job. So we already have a brother who is not working, who lost his job. And so here is another brother who is going into like, I can't even explain his situation. Maybe my sister will help me know, but just remember him in your prayers. His name is Moses. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Fernando. I just want to ask for prayers for my mom. I guess everything happens all at once. And my sister called me and said she had some health problems. She's older. She's my older sister. She has some arthritis. And then so I said, okay. Then my younger brother called me that he has to do some health checks. So. And then last week on Friday, my mom called me. She fell off the steps. She lives with my younger brother, and she wasn't supposed to go upstairs, but she went upstairs anyway, and she fell down and hit her head. But it didn't bleed, so that's good. She has problems with the blood, but she has a bump in her head. She said, and she's dizzy, and she called me, and so she. She wants to see the doctor, so I just pray that nothing else happened to her. It was just scary for the family. Then nobody was there until my younger brother came back from work. She couldn't get up from where she fell, so she stayed there for a while. But she says it's okay, but she was okay in that time, but now she's feeling dizzy and probably whiplash because of her head. So I just pray for my mom. And that'll be nothing serious for her. So thank you.
going to do a little public health service announcement because I've been pretty into this whole virus thing. And so just the basics is that it can be spread through close contact with people, droplets. So when people sneeze, that's within 2 meters, can also be in the air. Masks aren't really going to help you if it is actually aerosoled in the air, but they're good so that you don't touch your face. The only way that the virus can get into you is through mucous membranes, mostly through contact with your eyes or your nose or your mouth. And so the most important thing that you can do is wash your hands a lot, because usually you're going to transfer the virus from your hand to your face. And so that's the reason I have glasses on, is so that you don't touch your eye. You'd be amazed how many times a minute you touch your face. So it's just staying away from people, 2 meters, washing your hands a lot, and just kind of limiting your exposure to big crowds is the biggest thing. Children don't seem to be to get this very readily, and they also don't seem to have major complications. Older folks that are kind of over the age of 59, and people that have underlying health conditions, asthma, that'd be an underlying health condition, so I would urge you, Miwa, to be very careful. If you have underlying pulmonary conditions, that can really affect it. For the most part, it's a very mild thing, and so if you're healthy and you're not, you know, over 60 years old, you probably won't even notice that you have it. So it's not that scary, but it's very contagious. And so if you take something that's not so bad, but there's a 2% death rate, and you throw it over the globe, a lot of people still die. And so it is something to be worried about, but I don't think it's something to lose sleep over. So we'll do our best, but I think it's really important if you have interaction with people that have a weakened immune system, or if you're in contact with older folks, that you're very careful about not bringing the virus to them.